Begin the current daven, Sechtes Becharis Daf Tezayin. Begin on the bottom of Tezvav Mabez, second line up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara goes and elaborates now on the Brayse recorded in the previous Daf. The Brayse paralleled basically the halachas of our Mishnah, of our previous Mishnah, which discussed the differentiation between Kadam Mumen Lekdeshan. If we have an animal, a carbon, which its blemish was before was sanctified, which is essentially like Kedusha's Dam, has like monetary sanctity, doesn't really have physical sanctity, versus the Seif of a Mishnah and the Seif of the Brayse we're discussing with Kadam Hekdeshan Lemumen, where it was first sanctified and only later developed a blemish, where essentially it has the halacha like Hekdesh, which, as the Gemara explains, both the Reisha and the Sefer said, Kloli Shal Dava. Well, this is the general rule. Regarding the Reisha, it says that essentially it's really like Chun L'chol Devrayim. The only thing it has is Mitzvahs Il Bovad. Whereas the Sefer, it says, well, basically, Kloli Shal Dava, it's really like Hekdesh. The only thing is that it's permitted to be eaten. So now the Gemara explains that Kloli Shal Dava, the Reisha, this says that this is the general rule of the Reisha, where it already specified its halachas regarding kadam mumen lekdeshan, that it's like chulun. What's it adding on by saying that essentially it's like chulun? Lasu yeshechten mechutz lepata, adding on another halacha that it didn't mention regarding that if one slaughters this animal out of the azara, that he's going to be exempt because essentially it's like chulun, it's not a problem of like hektash. And kloli shal dava the sefer, this that it said regarding the case of when kadam hekdeshan lemuman, that it said that essentially it's like hektash for all practical purposes, what's that coming to include? Says the continuing type of Tezayim and Av, that's Lasoi Chalavi. That's coming to include the milk of Psuli HaMakdashin, that it's going to be prohibited, which is like Hekdesh, where it's prohibited to have, it's not going to be like a Chulun thing that it's permitted. Now, as Rashi points out, well, why didn't we just say that the Kloli Shal Dava of the Seifa is the inverse of the Reisha, which is maybe it's coming to say that when you do slaughter it outside, that you are going to be Chayiv, that you can't say, because we're talking about it's a blemish. It was Hukdish and then Mumen, which is known as Psulim Mikdashin. If to be Chayiv Shchutei Chutz of a Kadshim Bachutz would have to be specifically by Dukin Sheba'ayin, only in a very small case of when it has cataracts in the eyes. Moreover, the Sefer actually says clearly that Hashechden Bachutz is Pater. So therefore we couldn't say that the Klolish, though the Sefer that's coming to say liability, is regarding Hashechden Bachutz. And neither could we say the inverse of the Reisha for that of the Seifa, or say, oh, maybe it's coming to say that the milk of when it's called the Mumen Lactation, that the milk is permitted, because that's unnecessary. Because if regarding the child, which is like the body of the mother itself, as we know, is Uba Yerchimoy, still we say in the Reisha that is permitted, so for sure the milk, which is just like water from the animal, for sure that's going to be permitted, and therefore that would not have been necessary to say from the Kol Shel Davar. Therefore, Kol Shel Davar, the Reisha said, Lagabe Shechita Bachutz, and it's Pater. And here it's saying regarding the milk, that it's going to be prohibited when it's Kodem Hekdesh Lemuman. Now, Amamara, the Gemara explains the Braisa, where regarding the case of the Seifa of Kodem Hekdesh Lemuman, when it was sanctified first, before it developed a blemish, which again is classically known as the Halach of Psulim Mekdashin, so the Braisa had said that Ein Niftin Tamimin, that the children cannot be redeemed in an unblemished state, rather we say that they have like physical sanctity, and ve'imatfisin l'chol zevach sheyirtzu. You can't go ahead and grab it for whatever type of carbon that you want to, which that was why we actually introduced the Brayse in the previous daf as a support for Rav Sheshes, who is qualifying the teaching of Rav Chanina, that which is actually going to be the Gemara's point, which we had this machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Chanina. What do you do with the children of these psuli hamikdashin, where it's kadam mumen lekdeshan? So Rav Chanina had said, there's something to do for those children. You designate it for the Kedusha of its mother right before you redeem its mother, as we explained in the previous stuff. And Rav Sheshes had said, well, that's specifically regarding that type of carbon, but as the Braisa said, but ve'imat v'isnul chal zevach shiitz. You can't go ahead and designate it for whatever carbon that you want. Now, but there's two inferences of these two statements. It sounds like, okay, t'mimim hu d'lo mefarki. These children from the Psula Mekdashin, in an unblemished state, they cannot be redeemed. Habali mumen mefarki. But if they are blemished, then they could be redeemed. Meaning these children that were from the mothers who were impregnated before they got redeemed, but were born after they were redeemed. And we're saying that, for example, if you would go ahead and be matfisit l'shum zevach, which this is the halacha of Rav Chanina, where we're saying, okay, then it would have some sanctity that then it could go ahead and be redeemed. In contrast to what we had explained in the previous stuff, that we said, okay, it doesn't have Kedusha, but it can't go ahead and it can't be makar as a carbon, it doesn't have enough Kedusha, but it still has some Kedusha, it doesn't have enough Kedusha to be redeemed. But however, regarding the second part of the statement 2-0, so it's saying, okay, when you're going to be matfis l'shem zevach, Moreover, l'chol and the gear says zevach sheyir tohudei matfisin. The Brisa says, okay, fine. You can't go out and be matfis whatever type of carbon you want the child to be like. Halois is zevach matfisin. But the inference says, but for the same zevach as its mother, that you could be matfisin. Says the Gemara, sehecha mishkach asla. So how are you going to go ahead and explain this halacha to the children of the psul mekdashin, which again they were kodim hekdesh lamumen, where it sounds like, okay, if they're blemished, these children, then they can be redeemed. But for some other carbon, you cannot be matfisit. It has to be specifically matfis what the mother was. So the way it's going to come out is dematfisin lo'esei zavach, that you could go ahead and designate the fetus, this child, right before you redeem the mother, and you'd sanctify it for the sanctity that the type of carbon that the mother has. Then, v'niftin, then after it's born, they could be redeemed b'mumen, when they go ahead and develop a blemish. So says the Gemara, name it to you to Rav Huna. This is a refutation, seemingly, of Rav Huna, who he had said in the previous daf, that these children of the Psul Mekdashin, there's nothing you can do for them. You have to put them in the room, and they die by themselves. This sounds like Reb Chanina, who says, yeah, there's a way to do it. You can be matfis, l'shem ha'ezeh zevach, before you redeem the mother. So that Amalcha Rav Huna says, no. Then the truth is that even the afilu bale mumen ain't niftin. No, even if these children develop a blemish, you cannot redeem it. As we said in the previous daf, a gezeira. But what I mean, doesn't the inference sound like only if they're unblemished? But if they're blemished, you could? Says Rav Huna, no. V'ai did the tana reisha, it's only because the seifa of the braisa is in contrast to the reisha of the braisa. The reisha of the braisa was to talk about when he called them mumen lekdeshin, when they were pre-blemished, that the reisha wanted to say a bigger chiddush, that even niftin tamimim, that the children could be redeemed even in an unblemished state, which is a novelty. Generally, to redeem something that has hekdesh, an animal has to be blemished. That's what we said, we explained in the previous stuff, that even if they're in an unblemished state, they could be redeemed. So Tana Nama Seifa, and if the Tamim, so the Seifa just kept the parallel terminology of that, okay, so here you cannot redeem them unblemished. But the truth is, you can't redeem them even if they are blemished. And so too, V'adid Tana Reisha L'chol Zevach Sheyirtza, this that, since the Reisha said, and you could even redeem them for whatever type of carbon you want, Tana Nama Seifa L'chol Zevach Sheyirtza, so too the Seifa also kept the same terminology, but the truth is, as Rav Huna, you cannot redeem them, not L'shem Oysa Zevach, not L'shem Zevacha, not Tamim, not Bamum, we just kept the same wording, but the truth is, you cannot redeem them, there's nothing to do with these animals, you have to put them in the room and let them die. Now, the Seifa, the Braisa for the previous staff, which again, as we said, was going on when regarding kachim, that kadim hektation is mumen, that they were sanctified before they developed a blemish. Even so, said the Braisa regarding that second category, vashechtu mechutz pater, that if someone slaughters them out of the azara, that is going to be exempt. And the reason for that is because there's no liability of shechitas chutz, of slaughtering a carbon out of the azara, only if it would be acceptable and sacrificable inside the azara. As the Mishnah teaches in Zvachim of Kovid Bezim and Aleph, that regarding an animal that's blemished, whether a temporary blemish or a permanent blemish, if you sacrifice it out of the azara, you're going to be exempt. The reason for that is because we learn it from the pasuk that says, oh, you violated because ve'el pesach el moed lehevir, if you didn't bring it to the opening of the oil moed, which tells us only if it's fit to be brought in the oil moed. If it's not fit to be brought to the oil moed because it's a blemish, then you're not liable if you go and you slaughter it out of the azara. So that's why the Braisa says, regarding this, Hashrech Mechutz, even though we consider when it's Kadum Hekdesh Lemumen, like really like Kedusha Sagov, but you can't be Chayv Shechit Mechutz because it's not valid as a carbon inside. However, Rav Huna Masni, he taught this halacha that actually the Hashrech Mechutz is Chayv, which actually, as we learned in the Mishnah, that if someone slaughters them out, so he's going to be liable. Umukim lo bedukin shebein explains, and he qualifies, how do you have this halacha? When there's a cataract in the eye of the animal, which actually that would be accepted inside the Azari on the Mizbech, because of Alib Rebbe Kiva, Dhamma that he says in Sech Tzvachim, Perkab Ezbech, Mekadosh, Tapei Dalam and Aleph, that him olu lo yerdu, that after the fact, that if you put up on Mizbech, they wouldn't come down. And the reason for that is because cataract in the eye is not such a recognizable blemish, as the Mishnah teaches in Sech Tzvachim, over there in Pei Dalam and Aleph. The Rebbe Kiva says, it's kosher by Bali Mumen. No, it's not by every blemish, but it's only by those, because if you would say im olu lo yerdu, as Rabbi Yechon explains, Rabbi Kiva didn't validate every blemish, rather only dukat shebayin, since there it's actually kosher by birds, and regarding when it's kadim hekdesh lamumun, then im olu lo yerdu, that's how he would explain the case over here, that hashrech mechutz is going to be chayev, because actually it would be valid after the fact inside. Now the Braisa said, other halachas in this category is bein lefnei pidyoni, bein la'achem pidyoni, oisit timur. Regarding this psulim ekdashin, whether it's before it's redeemed or after it's redeemed, someone go ahead and try to say, I want this carbon to have its sanctity and this other animal, that will take effect. Both animals now have that sanctity. Now, on that Amar of Nachum Amar Rabbi Bar Avuhi, he says, Utmurasi lacha pidyoyne mesa. But regarding the case of when he makes the tmura after the animal is already redeemed, that tmura is going to die. My time, what's the reason? Because as we've had this logic in the previous daf, hey chalavid, what are you going to do with this tmura? Generally, tmura is brought as a carbon, just the same as its mother carbon, the one that it's trying to swap with. So you're going to say likrave, okay, let's sacrifice it. He can't, because mekayach kedusha dechuyakas, it's coming from a rejected sanctity because you're swapping it with something that was already redeemed. So it doesn't have, that redeemed animal cannot be brought as a carbon, so therefore also the tmura cannot be brought as a carbon. So what are you going to say? Okay, so lifrika, so then let us redeem it, instead of letting it just die. No, because loyal lima lemitvas pidyon, it's not strong enough that weakened sanctity to go ahead and have enough to actually go ahead and redeem it and have it replaced. So therefore, hilkach meis, so therefore you have to just let it die. Now, maskev l'Ravam, but Ravam asked on this halacha, and he says, why? V'tischil b'muma l'baylam, let it be eaten, the tmura itself, when it develops a blemish, that the owners could eat that tmura. Why? Because v'chima b'inzu l'tmuras b'char meis, so why is this any different than the tmura of a firstborn animal or tmura of a meis behema? Which is not, we learn the Mishnah Masechet is tmura. It says tmuras b'chari meiser, the animal that one tries swapping for a firstborn animal or for a meiser behema. The halacha is hein. So the b'chari meiser, this tmura vladan vlad vladan atzev kalaylam, the children, the children's children until all future generations, all those tmuras, meaning the derivatives, harein ki b'chari meiser, they have the halacha like the firstborn animal and the meiser behema, which is what's the halacha with the b'chari meiser. So they're supposed to be brought as a carbon. But if they develop a blemish, then actually the halacha is, as we're going to say for this tamura, where v'yech l'bemuman, these tamuras and their derivatives are going to be eaten, meaning you wait till it develops a blemish, and then they're eaten l'baylam for the owners, like you would do with a b'chayr ma'isha that develops a blemish, where the halacha is you can't redeem it, it's eaten in its blemished state. So obviously you see that since the tamura of the b'chayr ma'isha cannot be brought as a carbon, now why? Isn't every tamura brought as a carbon? So the Gemara Tamur Dav Hema Bey says, it says in the Pasuk, Ach Bechar Shar, when it talks about the laws of Bechar, which what's Ach is saying, that only the Bechar is brought as a carbon, but the Tamur is not brought as a carbon. So what do you do with the Tamur? So that's what the Mishnah says over there. So they're eaten in their blemished state, like you would for the Bechar and the Meiser. So why is that any different than the case we're talking about over here, where we're saying, what are you going to do with it? You can't bring it as a carbon, and you can't redeem it. So that's the same thing as the Tamur of the Bechar. Just like a Bechar you can't redeem, so too it's tamura. And there you say you can't bring it as a carbon because it's excluded. So it's the same halacha. So why shouldn't it be the same thing like over there? Why does it have to die over here? So that Amalei Abaye said to Rav Amram, he says, no, it's different. Zeh shem imoylov. This one has its mother, its parent designation on it. Vezeh shem imoylov. This one has its parent designation. What does it mean? These are two cases of tamuras, but what are you being a tamura on? Regarding that Mishnah Masechtas Tamura, it's a Tamura of a Bechara Meiser. So yeah, you compare it to the Bechara Meiser itself. Ma Bechara Meiser, just like a firstborn animal or a tenth animal. B'mumen Mesach L'Bailam, when it develops a blemish, what's done with it? It's eaten by the owners. Saf Tamuras Mesach L'Bailam, right. So the Tamura here, we can't bring it as a carbon, so we wait till it develops a blemish, and then it's eaten by its owners. But our Halacha also has its parent designation on it. Tamura's Kachem Mikri, what is this case that we're discussing? It's a tamura of a carbon. That's a psulim ekdashin. It's already redeemed, but it's a tamura of a carbon. Now, ma kachem le mesach li el bepidyon, just like regular carbonas, unlike bechar meiser, they cannot be eaten unless they get redeemed. Af tamuras in namal mesach le bepidyon. So, too, its tamura could also only be eaten as only it's redeemed. But like we said before, v'holay lima le mitvas pidyon, it's not strong enough to have enough sanctity for a pidyon to even take effect. And therefore, we said halach is that it has to die. Says the Gemara Tanik Abba Seder Rav Nachman, and we have a brace that says like Rav Nachman, like this halacha that we're talking about. The brace that says, Minayin le tamuras psuli mekdash, in the case we're discussing. From where do we know that the tamura of an invalidated carbon, shemesa, that the tamura dies? For example, like we were discussing, that after the kachim were redeemed, then the person went and was matfis a tamura, he tried to make a tamura, where like we said, it's not going to be able to be brought as a carbon. So how do we know that then it dies? Tamalema, we learn that from a pasuk. The pasuk here is talking about the designation of what's considered a kosher animal. There's two kosher signs. Now, the simple translation of the pasuk, where it says, however, this you should not eat from that which chews its cud and has split hooves, it's really going on the rest of the pasuk, which are some that have only one of the two signs, the camel and all those other ones. But however, the way it could be interpreted is, it sounds like that this you should not eat mimali hagera, from those that chew its cud, and because the pasuk concludes tameh, that tameh hu lachem, it says there at the end of the pasuk, which the way the Bryce is expounding the pasuk is that you could have something that has the kosher signs. It is like the pasuk says, chews its cud and has split hooves, and still the pasuk concludes tameh hu lachem, that it's going to be forbidden to be eaten. And what is that? That's the tmura of a psul hamikdashin, which we said that there's nothing to do with it. You can't eat it, and that's what the pasuk is referring to, and that's the source for this halacha of Nachman, as we see in the Brisa, that it's going to be considered tameh hu lachem, although it's really a kosher animal, but it's a tamur of psul hamikdashin, and there's nothing to do with it. It just has to die. That is the Gemara. But what do you mean, as the Gemara in Tamur of Chafav Mabez explains, there's five types of karban chatas, that when the owner dies, different cases, that you have to let these karban chatas die. So it's from here that we learn out that even though it's kosher, but tamei hulachem, it's like non-kosher and you have to let it die. How can you say it's referring to tamuris psulei mekdashin? So think about now, that regarding the five chatos that die is mimafrisi haparsa tamei nafka. There's two kosher signs that says in the pasuk. And the end of the pasuk, tamei hulachem, is saying it's going, even if it's a kosher animal, that it's not going to be able to be eaten. One is learned out from the words mimafrisi haparsa, from the sign of the split hooves, is saying that even that's going to be considered tamei, that's for the five chatois that die. And from the maligera part, from the fact that truth is cut, which is the kosher sign, is excluding this of the psulim, the tamuris psulim mikdash. And says, gematanam hachis in the braisa, minayin luchamash chatois meses, where do we know the five karbanos chatois that they die? Tamalayma, it's from this other words that we said, mimafrisi haparsa tamei, that those that have the split hooves, it's still going to be considered not kosher, which, even though it's really kosher animal, but it's the chamash chatois meses. So that has the Gemara, really chamash chatois meses, that's, you know, from mimafrisi haparsa, but hilchasik emirala, we know it's a tradition, it's halacha mesh mesina, what are you saying, it's from learned from a pasuk? So Gemara says, you're right, elikiyas ekra, what is the pasuk coming to say when it says mimafrisi haparsa, that's still tamei hulachem? That's latmuras asham. That's coming for the tamura of a carbon ashram, that it has to go out and graze, because an ashram itself cannot be brought as a netava. So therefore, its tamura, which is also essentially like a netava, cannot be brought as a carbon. So according to this interpretation, when the end of the pasuk says tamei hu lachem, what it really means to say is, leave it until it becomes tamei, meaning until it develops a blemish, which is then not valid as a carbon, and then you can go ahead and use that ashram. But it would be referring to the tamura of an ashram. And that the Gemara asked too. Tamuras asham nami hilchasahi. The tamura of an asham that you have to let it graze is also halacha meshe b'sinai. Because the halacha meshe b'sinai tells us, kol shebechatas mesa, any case where the karbachatas would have to die, and the tamura of the chatas is one of the five chatas that die. So in the equivalent over here, they were talking about the tamura of an asham, is also b'asham raya. We know that then in that case, the asham has to go out to graze. So you're not learning it from the pasuk. That's part of the halacha meshe b'sinai. Rather, the Gemara goes back to the previous answer, like we had taught in that brisa. La'ilum chamash chatois meses, truthfully is, mamafrisi haparsa tamei ulechem is coming to teach us the five chatois that they die. But didn't you say it's halacha mesh mesina? Says the Gemara, v'itzuch kra v'itzuch hilchasa. You're right, you need both. You need the pasuk and you need halacha mesh mesina. Why? Dimikra, if we only had this pasuk, so havimina l'ria. Then I would have said that, okay, what's it saying that it's considered tamei? Like we had that the interpretation we had actually for the Ashim, that it should go out to graze, but not that it has to die. I mean, it grazed till it loves a blemish, then you could use it. So that's what we need the Halacha Mesh Mesinai to say, no, it actually has to die. Now, if we only had the Halacha Mesh Mesinai, Havimina, I would have said, Hecha de Avad Ikri V'ochol Mahani Chamesh Chatois, if it happens and someone goes ahead and eats from one of the five Chatois, which really you have to let it die, and instead he eats from it, so I would say, okay, isuri ikka, that's a prohibition, but lav leka, it's not like he violated a negative prohibition, didn't violate any lav. Kamash malan deka lav, that's what we're saying, that no, it's actually with all the force of what a negative prohibition has, like it says, leseichlu mimali agera, saying not to eat from those that chew its cud, and so on, where it says tamei ulechem, which we're saying it's referring to chamesh chatois hameses, to say that it has the strength of a leisa, say not just that it's a prohibition. Vibay say, more if you want, you could say a different interpretation. The reason why it mentions the mafrisa haparsa, which we said is referring to the chamesh chatois hamesis, which we said, what do you need a pasuk for if you know from Halacha Mesh Sinai? You're right, it's not teaching us anything regarding the chamesh chatois themselves. But lakushe davar haba mimalagera, because the pasuk wants to equate that which is being learnt out from the words mimalagera, which, like we said before, that refers to the halacha we're discussing over here, the tmuras psulim ekdashin after they're redeemed, which that we learn out from the extra words malagera, not extra, but regarding the tamei ulechem is going on it, ladavar haba mimafrisa parsa, to compare it to that which is being learnt out from the words mafrisa parsa, which we're saying refers to the chamesh chatois amesis. What do we need that comparison for? To tell us, malahalam b'mesis, just like over there, the what's learnt out from mafrisa parsa, which is the chamesh chatois, we know from the ulechem, we've seen the dead dies, afkam b'mesis, we're saying, and that's our halacha, to say that the tamuras of the psulim ekdashin, that it's also going to go to die, and therefore that's exactly like the halacha that Rav Nachman said, that regarding these tamuras, la'achar pidyon, that it's going to be mesa. It's going to die. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the Mishnah before the last one, regarding the opening Mishnah of our Perek, which we were talking about Halakech Uba Parase, which similar to the opening of the first Perek of our Masechta, regarding that a partnership with a non-Jew in the animal exempts it from the laws of Bechair. So continuing on that theme, our Mishnah tells us, one of the cases we were told about was Kablanus. Where you shear in the prophets, and we said, okay, that's still a partnership with the non-Jew, it's exempt from the laws of Bechair. This case the Mishnah describes is a similar type of a case, but it's what's called Tzoyim Barzal. Someone receives iron sheep from a non-Jew, which is that the non-Jew evaluates his animals with a certain set amount, and the Jew takes responsibility to pay back that amount of money until the end of that contract, let's say until the end of 10 years. Whether the animal dies, or whether the venture loses money, it doesn't make a difference. He's got to give back the principal to the non-Jew. Now, if they make money, if they make profits from the animals, those children, until that time of 10 years, are going to be split between the Jew who's the worker, who's taking that venture, and the non-Jewish owner of the animals. So regarding such a case, continues the Mishnah Tamid Beis, regarding the laws that we're discussing here in this parak regarding the laws of Bechair. So Vlad they saying, the children of those Tzorim Barzal, which those are the iron sheep that the non-Jew owns these sheep, he's giving them to the Jew to work with it. So when those children get older and they have their firstborns, Peturin, they're exempt from the laws of Bechair. As the Gemara will explain, the reason is because since if this Jew is not going to have money to give back to the non-Jew, what happens is that the non-Jew is going to go ahead and take the animals. Now, if he doesn't find the animals, he's going to go ahead and take the children. So it comes out that the non-Jew has possession not only of the primary animals, but even the children of those animals. So therefore, those children are considered like partnership with the non-Jew, and therefore those children are not going to, the children's children are not going to be having the law of Bechair. Now, but Vladi saying, but the grandchildren of the Tzorim Barzal, which when that's what part from the part of that the Jew gets from his shares of the prophets, when they have children, the great-grandchildren are going to be chayavin, that fourth generation is going to be obligated that the Bechairis, the first ones, go to the Kohen, which again, that's the fourth generation of the Tzorim Barzal, that does go to the Kohen, because that has no rights for the non-Jew. He's not considered a partner in its mother to say that the next generation, that the firstborn, is going to be exempt. No, rather it's chayv. Now, however, if hemed v'lod deisein tachas imeisein, but if the Jew goes and puts the child in place of the mother, in other words, if let's say he's trying to maybe win a contract with the non-Jew, he opens up to the non-Jew and he says that, you know what, your rights of your Tzorim Barzal, not even in the mother that you're giving me, but even in the children. And he tells him, look, if the animals die, you can even take the children of my portion. And they'll take the place of those monies that I owe you, which is I guaranteed you the Tzorim Barzal, I'm going to give it back to you. Not even that, you have rights even in the children. So then, now he just strengthened the rights of the non-Jew to go one generation further. So therefore, the children of those children, which they are Vladis, they're the grandchildren of the Tzorim Barzal, they're Peturin. They're going to be exempt, because now the rights of the non-Jew is not just in the mother and the child, but it's in the mother and the child's child, so that when they have a Bechair, you're not going to give it to the Kohen. It's only Vladis Chayam. It's only going to be the child of the child's of the child's, that then when they're going to have the firstborn, that's the fifth generation, then it's going to be Chayv. Now, Shimon Gamliel Lema, he says that no, Afila Adasara Peturim. He says even until 10 generations, all of them, all the children that the Jew has from that partnership with the non-Jew, they're all exempt from the laws of Bechair when they have a child. when they have their firstborn. Why? Because the liability, the responsibility is on all of them to the non-Jew. Because a non-Jew, whatever will be part of that venture, he'll grab if he feels that it's owed to him. And therefore, he's considered yadei be'emtza regarding all of them, and therefore, just like when a non-Jew has a partnership, that for that child of that animal, firstborn, is exempt, here too all the animals are going to be exempt. Now, a different halacha, which we explained in previous dafim, a rachel sheyolda min eis, if a sheep gives birth to a species that looks like a goat, known as the halacha of nidma, or ve'eis sheyolda min rachel, if a goat gives birth to something that looks like a sheep, Turim in the Bechaira, that's exempt from the laws of the firstborn. But if some of the features of the child looks like the mother, then Chayav then will be obligated in the laws of Bechaira. Now, going back to the opening halacha of our Mishnah, when the Jew is Mekabel, Tzayim Barzel venture from the non-Jew, so he said that, okay, so the non-Jew is considered a partner in all these animals, and therefore it's exempt from Bechaira. So says the Gemara, the members that to say the kimder loy nakad mara, since the owner, meaning the non-Jew, did not take zuzit, he didn't take money, he didn't get his money back yet, he's going to get it back 10 years from now. So therefore, b'shusa de mara, we consider that the animals are still in the domain of the owner, of the non-Jew, kaima, that's where it is, and therefore, he's still considered it's his animal, not just the Jew who's working with it, it's his animal too. So therefore, they're going to be exempt from the laws of Bechair. However, verminu, that seems to be contradicted from Mishnah Maseftes Bava Metzia. The Mishnah says, "A mekablin tzorim barzel miYisrael." A Jew cannot accept a tzorim barzel contract from a fellow Jew. Why? Mineshu ribis, that's the isser of taking interest. Why? Says the Gemara, "Alma b'shusa de mekabel kaim." It sounds like that no, the tzorim barzel sheep left the domain of the owner, and they're in the domain of the one who accepted the responsibility. Who he took the monies because he's totally responsible now. He's obligated. It's like a loan to him. Now, this that the giver takes half the children, half the profits, that is payment for what's called hamtanas mois, by him waiting for the money, which is essentially what's usually called halva. And taking those half the children is ribis. So that's why a Jew can't do this with another Jew. Because if you would think, like we're saying in our Mishnah, that it stays in the rishus of the original owner, so why is that ribbis? It's not ribbis, it's not a loan. It's still, the animal's still owned by the owner, and we're splitting the profits. So therefore, it seems to be a contradiction from our Mishnah, the Mishnah Bava Metzia, regarding, so when you have a tzorim barzel, do we consider it still in the domain of the owner, or do we not? So Abaye says, like Kash, it's not a difficulty. Our Mishnah, that says it's still in the rishus of the owner, and not in the rishus of the mekabel, is because it's talking about the Kabel Olay, we're talking about where the non-Jewish owner of the Tzorim Barzel sheep had accepted upon himself Ein Tzavazula. He took responsibility. He says, look, if an Ein has happened, something beyond your control, or stuff go down and then depreciate, says, I'm taking responsibility. So if he's taking responsibility, then it's obviously still on some level like in his domain. So therefore, he still has some type of a partnership, and therefore it's exempt from the laws of Bechair. But the Mishnah Bava Metzia is talking about, no, the owner of the sheep takes no responsibility whatsoever. You have to give it totally back. So that's like a loan. It's totally in the domain of the receiver, the one who's doing the work, of the kablin, and therefore it's going to be a problem about ribbis. On that interpretation, normally Rava says to Abaye, says, wait, the Kabbalah, Ein Tzavazola, you're describing the case of our Mishnah where the owner is taking responsibility. If an einus happens, if it goes down, Tzorim Barzel Karasli, how are you going to call that the case of a Mishnah of the iron sheep? You know why it's called iron sheep? The case of iron sheep is only when the one who's receiving takes all responsibility, even if there's an einus, and that's what's called iron sheep, which is hard and it never depreciates. So to over here, the guy who's giving it says, I'm not going to have any loss. You want to do this work? You want to get 50-50? You take full responsibility for the principal. If not, we're not doing it. So how can you say that's Tzorim Barzel if he's accepting einus vizula? Vayi Morava asked Rava, my piska. That is, we do see to make a differentiation. Our Mishnah, you're saying, Tzorim Barzel means one thing. The Mishnah Bava Metzia, Tzorim Barzel means something else. Where do we find that there should be such a difference in defining a Tzorim Barzel? Vayi Morava, the Tani Sefer, third question he says, instead of the Sefer of the Mishnah Bava Metzia saying, oh, you're not allowed to accept Tzorim Barzel from a Jew, I'm a common Tzorim Barzel from a Levi-Gacham, but you could do, as our Mishnah was describing such a case, you could accept a Tzorim Barzel contract from a non-Jew. That is Rava, but according to you, Liflig Velisni Bididah could have said a bigger chiddush. It could have differentiated even in the case of the Reish itself regards to taking a Tzorim Barzel from a fellow Jew. Because the Mishnah could have said, oh, But when did we say that it's forbidden to take a tzem b'ra'ah contract from a fellow Jew? Is the lekabla oin tzavazula? If the owner didn't accept any responsibility of an oinus, or if it goes down, but the Mishnah could have said, but if he accepts some type of responsibility, then shaper domi, then that's a good case of term basel. Obviously, says Rava, that's not a case of term basel for the Mishnah to say that, oh, that would be a good term basel. And no, term basel is always a problem for a fellow Jew. So Elam Rava, rather, Rava says a different interpretation. It says, idi v'idi l'kabala ainsa b'zayla. It says, I mean, that's the only case you have of anyways term basel. The owner didn't accept any responsibilities if something wrong goes on. Rather, all of the responsibility is on the receiver, the one who's the kabbalah, the one who's doing the work with it. Now, so then how do we understand the halacha of our Mishnah? So, doesn't it sound like from the Mishnah Bab Metzia that, okay, that means to say that the owner has nothing to do with it anymore? And that's why it's a problem about ribbis and Bab Metzia, so then... So if the non-Jew is totally out of this picture, so actually it should be obligated in the laws of Bechaira. So and that says Rav, no, because V'hacha Gabi Bechaira, here regarding the laws of the firstborn, it's not because, as we had assumed up until now, because on some level it's considered in the domain of the non-Jew. No, it's not. It's not in this domain. But it's because it's considered at least a mashkin. It's considered collateral for him. High in the time of the reason is, the ilo asa evikachavim, if the non-Jew is going to come, and Bayezuzi is going to want his money, the Jew's not going to give it to him. He's going to grab the animal. He's not going to find the animal because it's such a loss that they lost. He's going to go ahead and grab the children of the Jew's portion. Therefore, the non-Jew has somewhat of a handle over here in the middle of the things. Anytime there's some type of rights that a non-Jew has in the middle, that exempts it from Bechara, and therefore it doesn't contradict the Mishnah. But there, you're right. He's not a partner. He's totally out of it, but it's still collateral, and therefore it's still considered at least to exempt it from the laws of Bechara. Now, the next sentence that the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah of Hemed Vlod, they say in Takasim, is saying that we said, if let's say the Jew says that not only is it Tzayim Barzal on the parent that you're giving me, but even on the child, then it's one step further that even Vlodi Vlodi's Petum, even the children's children, that their firstborns are going to be exempt. So on that, the Tzayim Kachem brings in Ois Aleph to delete that, because actually our next Gemara is going on the Reish of the Mishnah, which is not when he was Hemed Vlod, the same Takasim is saying, as it's obvious from the interpretation of Rashi. So Amar Rav Huna, he says as follows. He says, Vlodis, the children of the Tzayim Barzal, of the iron sheep, again, iron sheep are the sheep that the non-Jewish owner gives to the Jew to work with. So those children are Peturin, are exempt from the laws of Bechera, as we explained in the Mishnah, again, going on the case of the Reisha, because not only would he take the parent back, which is definitely Tzayim Barzal, but even the child. So therefore he has something in that child, and therefore that child's child, that meaning that firstborn, is going to be exempt from the laws of Bechera. But Vlodi Vlodi say in Chayavim. But the child's child, when she has a firstborn, that would be obligated in the laws of Bechar. But Rabbi Hudama, he says, no, Vlodi Vlodi Snami Peturin. That even the child's child, when she has her firstborn, will be exempt from the laws of Bechar. And that is the fourth generation of the Tzayim Barzal, says Rabbi Huda, does not go to the Kain. It's only the fifth generation that goes to the Kain. It's only Vlodi Vlodi Vlodis. It's Vlodi Vlodi Vlodis Chayavim. It's only the fifth generation that was saying that is going to be chayiv in the laws of the Bechair, which the Gemara right now is going to ask from our Mishnah. It seems to contradict that. The Gemara says, "Nah, we learned our Mishnah. Hemed vlodis tachasi mesein." We said, which is the line we just quoted before in the Gemara. If the Yisrael goes one step further, he says, "Look, you know, not only am I guaranteeing the parent, but even the child could take the place of the parent." So he said, oh, then Vlodi Vlodi's Peturin. Then the child's child, when she has her firstborn, is going to be exempt. Now, it sounds like time of the Hemet. Only because the Jew went and placed, he strengthened the strength of the non-Jewish lender. That's why. Haloi Hemet Loi. But if he didn't do that proposition, then that would not exempt the Vlodi Vlodi's of the term Basel of their children's Bechair from giving to the Kain. So that's Chief Rabbi Yehuda. He said, in every case, Vlodi Vlodis are Peturin. Amalchar Yudhi says, no, who had not forgot to Leham? The truth is that, like I said, the exemption would even be on Vlodi Vlodis even if he didn't do this proposition. So then why is the Mishnah saying specifically when he was Maimid? It's to say, Afalahem Anami. It's to say, even when he does do this proposition, where then obviously the situation would be that the non-Jew would go ahead and grab the child. So in other words, you would think that since he strengthened the strength of the non-Jew by the children, and anyways generally the non-Jew takes the child, so you think that now that he's saying that you could even take the child, that now he's actually strengthening the non-Jew so far that he could even exempt it, all the children for all generations to be exempt. Because now the non-Jew is going to take every generation. That's what Mishnah's teaching. Now, even so, and the Gersa takes out the next letter Vav, now have a kimi doloi hamad. It's like as if he didn't go ahead and give him this proposition of the child taking the place, where it's only going to be vladi vladis, there's going to be the children's children of the Tzayim Barzal that's Peturin. But vladi vladi vladis chayavin, but the fifth generation will be chayav as if he was not maimed. So essentially, Rav Yehuda is basically saying that hamad is no different than the regular case. So yeah, the halach of hamad, which is the way Rav Yehuda said, is the same as the regular case. Well, shortly the Gemara is going to ask from the regular case that seems to say not like him. But that resolved that question. Now the Gemara says, Nan. We learned in our Mishnah that presumably Lamer, he disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, Nah, fill out a Sarah Darius Petun, even up until 10 generations, all those children, when they have their firstborn, is exempt from giving it to the Kain. Why? Shachar Yusin Lavi Kacham, he says, because ultimately they're all insurance for the non-Jew, and therefore he has somewhat of a Yad Be'emtza of all those cases, they're all exempt from Bechair. Now the assumption of the Gemara is that this is going on the halacha of the Reisha. In the regular case. So on that, that's the Gemara Bishlam of Yehuda, the Amar Nachas Tanakama Ladari, that he says that the Tanakama goes through the effort of exempting generations, meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama exempted two generations of the Tzayim Barzal. Not like the way we had read it, the way Rav Huna says it, that it's only the Tzayim Barzal and its child. But no, more than one generation, two generations of children are exempt from their firstborns from being given to the Kayin. So, as we continue to talk about Yudzayin and Alf, Sahayin Yudomal Yerba Shemim Lil, so therefore we can understand what Yerba Shemim Lil says to the Tanakama, oh, you're saying that only two generations beneath the Tzayim Barzal and not more is going to be exempt from Bukhairs? Oh, that's Yerba Shemim Lil. I'll tell you, Afala Arasar Deriz Peturin, that even up until 10 generations is going to be exempt. Now the truth is, he holds forever, even more than 10 generations. It's just that that's a number that's usually picked when we're saying a lot, as the Pasuk says in the Devarim of Gimel, that Gam Doi Resiu, that also the 10th generation is forbidden to come to the Jewish people, where really it's forbidden forever. But one thing is that we see is that, yeah, it was necessary for Shemuel to say this, because if he would have only said, what do you mean? Even the children's children are exempt. So then I would have thought to say, oh yeah, it's only that much that Shemuel exempts, but not more than that. Because just like we see by the Tanakama, that he exempts Vladi Vladis, even though they're not that Vladi Vladis, the grandchild, is not from the actual animal, the non-Jew itself. It's only the child of that Tzayim Barzal, but they were talking about the child is exempt. And still, the Tanakama holds that you're going to be obligated when it's Vladi Vladis to give that child to the Kayin. So then I would have thought to say that Mishim Lil also, even though he exempts by Vlad Vladis, but one generation later, he would hold you're going to be Chayiv. That's where you have to say, no, even up until 10 generations. That only makes sense according to Rav Yehuda. But El Rav Huna, the Amar Loi Nachas Tanakama Ladari, he holds that Tanakama didn't say any plurality in the exemption of the children of the generations, because he holds that Tanakama only exempts the actual child of the Tzayim Barzal when it has its firstborn. So the reason for that is because that's a derivative of the actual animal, the non-Jew himself. So according to him, Maya Fala Adasar Dairis, what is it when Rav Shimon Lil is saying even up until generations, 10 generations, they're going to be exempt? Why did Rav Shimon Lil have to say that Adasar Dairis? He could have just said, no, even Vladi Vladis are Potter. And then I would have known, just like he's exempting Vladi Vladis, even though that grandchild is not the actual derivative of the animal of the non-Jew. So I would have known, okay, so it doesn't have to be just directly from his animal, it could be up until 10 generations. Why does it have to say that according to Rav Huna, Adasar Dairis? So Amlach Rav Huna says, Rav Shimon Lil is actually not going to Reisha, Ahemet Koi. He's going on the case of this next case in the Mishnah, which was that the Jew went and said, you know what, Tzayim Barzal is not only on the sheep you give me, it's even on the children of the sheep that you give me. Ah, the Nachas, where there the Tanakama went and then said that the exemption does apply Ladari, it does apply to generations, because in that case, the Tanakama agrees that the exemption is going to be even for Vladi Vladis. So therefore he already said numbers, therefore it wasn't enough to just say Vladi Vladi Vladis, because then you would think it's similar to Tanakama that it's only that amount, but one generation later would be Chayiv. Therefore he had to say, even though the Saradaris to say it goes on and on, infinitum, that it's going to be the exemption of the laws of Bukhar. One more proof, the Gemara says, Tashema, the narration of the Mishnah, which seems to be the most obvious question. The Mishnah said, Hamakabel Tzayim Barzal Mal Evi Kuchav, open up the halach of our Mishnah. If someone takes this accepting this proposition of the term bar zilah of a non-Jew. So the Mishnah said, Vlodis Peturin, the child of that term bar zilah, when it has its firstborn, is exempt from giving to the Kohen, but Vlodis Loi, but that does not exempt the children's children. Well, that's true of Rabbi Yehuda. That clearly refutes him, where he said that Vlodis are also Patim. That on Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Amos say, Hein Uvaldi Sehem, them and their children, them is going on the child. And when it's saying Uvlodi Sehem, it's going on the next generation of children, which is two generations of children. And that's the interpretation of Hein. And actually, Igadam and those that say that the question was actually the opposite because of that. The Mishnah said that Hein, which we're understanding now as the child, Uvlodi Sehem, and his child, are patur and are exempt. It's only the next generation, when it says Vlad Vlodi Sehem is chayov, and it means the child's child's child, then its child is going to be chayov. But to you have to do Rav Huna, that seems to refute Rav Huna, where it sounds like that two generations are pat. Rav Huna says, no, Amos say, as we had been interpreting all along, no, Hein, when it says them, it means the actual parent itself. That's not the child of the parent. Uvladis and its children are pater. Vladi vlad is chayiv. But the children's child is going to be chayiv. And that's exactly like Rav Huna. It's only the parent and the child, but the child's child is going to be chayiv in the laws of Bechar.